Welcome to New Reality. This is Alan Seinfeld. And each week on this program, I talk about this ongoing evolution, this rising in consciousness that seems to be happening around the planet. And each week I speak to people who are very much a part of this revolution of thought, revolution of consciousness. And that's why I call this program New Realities, because I think we truly are moving into a new mode of perceiving reality around us. And tonight's guest is very much involved in this movement. His name is William Gladstone, and he's the co-author of The Golden Motorcycle Gang with Jack Canfield. And we're going to be talking about what the Golden Motorcycle Gang does, who they are, but more, I would think, with some of William's specialties, especially as 2012 approaches. So, William, welcome to New Realities.
Pleasure to be on your show, Alan.
I know you've written this book with Jack Canfield, and but let's talk about your development a little bit, because you wrote a book called 12, and your whole involvement with 2012 as a kind of a meme, as a kind of a social construct within the evolutionary reality we're moving into. So,
absolutely, and thank you for that introduction. When I wrote the novel The 12, and some of the novel of The 12, some of the key points are described in the latter portion of The Golden Motorcycle Gang, because the writing of that novel really was pivotal on many levels for the manifestation of what has become The Golden Motorcycle Gang and my relationship with Jack Canfield and Barbara Marx Hubbard. But when I started The 12, it really was meant to be an autobiography of my life and how I had had an experience, a near-death experience, when I was 15 years old, when I had been given a shot of penicillin, and the doctor, not knowing I was allergic to penicillin, this was many years ago, and I actually died. My vital signs stopped, and I was in an altered reality for the show New Realities. And in this reality, in this consciousness that I was able to obtain during this near-death experience, I was gifted with 12 names and also with the experience of knowing the true nature of existence. We are not merely physical beings. My body was dead, but my consciousness continued. And I was surrounded by other beings, energies, if you will, and experienced the greatest bliss and happiness that I know of, and that far exceeded, you know, and I've had many blissful moments. I've had a wonderful life as a human being, but it was really unique. But the important takeaway from the experience was that I was given 12 names, and I didn't know what to make of it. It's described in the novel. And later in my life, I started meeting people, and I still don't know, because we did do it as a novel, because I didn't remember in reality who the actual 12 were. I've met people that I think maybe members of the 12, but I don't know for sure.
So who do you think were members of the 12, and why were you given those particular names?
I in the book, I've picked some people, but I've had an extraordinary life. I've traveled around the world for Rod Serling, making In Search of Ancient Mysteries when I was still just a young boy of 22. And I met people from different cultures, different religions. And I think there was something intentional in the design of my being, if you will, to have interaction. I mean, I even met the Dalai Lama when I was in my early 20s. And I met these people in the context of making a film for, I actually made several films. I made one called In Search of the Historical Jesus, as well as In Search of Ancient Mysteries, the Eric Von Daniken story about the possibility of UFO interaction on planet Earth. And I made these films not as a believer in I was a production person, but I was responsible for arranging all of the interviews. So I met some extraordinary people. And I think that it was important, because when it came time for me to sort of put this all down in a book, the book I created, The 12, was able to take the diversity of human experience and really assimilate everyone. I have, you know, friends who are Jews. I have friends who are Hindus. I have friends who are Muslims. I have friends who are atheists. I have friends who are born again, you know, Baptists. And it was important in the context of the 12 to really represent all of the world religions, and insofar as I could, the entire strata of humanity. I have friends who are billionaires. I have friends who are homeless. And so I have an extraordinary breadth to draw on, and I drew on that for the novel, The Twelve. One of the amazing things that happened, because it's all about synchronicity, and you'll get a lot of this in the reading of The Golden Motorcycle Gang, but the synchronicity that occurred almost the day I finished the novel was Stephanie South, who was Jose Arguelles' partner for the last 10 years of his life, sent me on almost the exact same day a biography she had written of Jose.
What's the name of that biography?
Time Traveler, I believe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, of course I told Stephanie I'd be delighted to represent the book because I'm also a literary agent. So I represented that book, and then I thought, well, I might as well ask. I think it's a long shot, but I'm going to send Stephanie my novel and see if she'll show it to Jose. And she did. And what was amazing was after 3 weeks, I got the most beautiful email from Jose. He said, I don't know what possessed me to read your novel. I don't have time to read anybody else's books. I'm so busy, let alone a novel. But you had the 2012 in the title, and I was just drawn to it, and I have to say I enjoyed reading it, but most important is the message that you've delivered of what you believe 2012 is all about is the exact message that I, as the reincarnation, which he believed himself to be, of the ancient Maya leader who preserved the Mayan calendar, is identical. And in a parallel universe, I think he used the phrase, you are a mirror image of me. So that was tremendous confirmation that it was more than a novel and that it really did have an important role to play in bringing the message of 2012.
Right. And people forget that Jose Arguelles is the single-handedly person who put 2012 on the map. I did a workshop with him in New York in 1986 where he was talking about the harmonic convergence in 87 and then this 25-year window where we would have to get the whole kind of consciousness together so we could then go into 2012 or at the end of it with a whole new renewed faith in ourselves, basically.
Absolutely. And I had been aware of the harmonic convergence. I may have even participated briefly because I had some friends who, you know, brought the news to me at that time, but I was more into other activities. I wasn't that aware. But I was aware enough that when Jose blessed me, so to speak, as being a true messenger along with him, I started paying more attention to, you know, what 2012 meant for me personally, but mostly what it actually does mean for the planet as a whole.
Well,
and another confirmation, just, and then we'll get into that, but another confirmation that happened that was quite extraordinary is because I wanted all of my characters, and I used a combination of make-believe names and actual names, I went to a numerologist to check and be sure that I had all of the 9 basic numbers represented in their names, prepared to change the names if necessary. She told me, you don't have to change a letter, you got it. And that, I thought, was quite a coincidence, probably odds of 100,000 or even 1,000,000 to 1 of doing that randomly. Mm-hmm. But then she told me something that was even more extraordinary, was that the main character in the book, Max Duff, whose birthday in reality is my actual birthday, had the exact numerological vibration of December 21st, 2012. So when I learned that, it was just more confirmation along with what Jose had told me that I do, for whatever accident or purpose of the universe, have a role to play in bringing the message. And then there's other things, and I'm Harvard educated and Yale educated and grew up very conservative, so I don't necessarily, you know, except sort of the otherworldly incidents that have also reaffirmed this for me. I happen to live with a woman who does communicate with the other side, and not just her, but other people have actually seen Mayan spirit beings surround me when I speak. So there's something very special about my personal relationship and my role with 2012, and it is really through the writing of the novel, The Twelve, that led me to a second project called Tapping the Source that then led me to reconnect my relationship with Jack Canfield around the Golden Motorcycle Gang. And Jack had told me the story of the Golden Motorcycle Gang almost 20 years ago. And at the time he told it to me, I immediately shared with him my near-death experience. It was kind of a bond we had. We now joke We might do a book together, Chicken Soup for Unusual Souls, just about people who've had either out-of-body experiences or synchronicities or guided meditations that have awakened them to the reality that we are, in fact, spirit beings as well as human beings. But through the connection I had with Barbara Marks Hubbard, who I didn't know until just at her 80th birthday party, which Jack Canfield hosted at his home in Santa Barbara, had also been a mentor to Jack. And Barbara, for more than 40 years, has been speaking about her vision of conscious evolution and her new insight that 2012 is the date for the end of a 26,000-year cycle, and therefore December 22nd, 2012, must be day one of a new 26,000-year cycle. And this is confirmed from almost every major culture that I've studied. The Mayan happened to be the only one who were so precise to get it down to the day. But other cultures, including the Hawaiian and the Tibetan and the Hopi, have talked about the end of a major cycle and the beginning of a new cycle. And this is really where I think we connect with your audience here on New Realities, that this is not just people creating a story. The story is true. And we can get into more details of the confirmation that we have that it's true.
Yeah, I'm just curious about what that birth date was that was confirmed.
Well, my actual birthday is 12-12-1949.
Oh, I see. 12-12. I see. So that does numerically hook up to December 21st, 2012, which I personally think is the day where, as Terence McKenna, another 2012 innovator, you know his work?
Yes, I do.
Well, Terence McKenna said that history recapitulates itself, and it recapitulates itself in smaller and smaller circles. So like the 60s were a recapitulation of the Renaissance, which was a recapitulation of the Golden Age of Greece. So what we're moving into as the date winter equinox next year approaches is this smaller and smaller recapitulations of history. So the Wall Street Occupy movement is a recapitulation of the revolution of Wall Street, of all the things that have kind of lined up in history. And as we approach this date, that cycle gets smaller and smaller till on December 21st, 2012, all of history recapitulates itself in 4 hours. And then what happens, he says, at sunrise on December 21st, 2012, history becomes history. We are off the map. We are off in a whole new direction. This is McKenna's take on it. So I'm wondering, does your understanding of the shift in paradigm about 2012 take that direction, or what direction does it take?
I have an interesting answer. My answer is yes and no.
Okay.
There's simultaneous universes that will be coexisting. They already are, in fact. But McKenna basically said it's the end of time, the end of history.
As we know it.
True.
As we know it. And Jose Aguayas said it's the end of the myth of progress. So it's—
yes. And, well, it's more than that either. I mean, I really regret that I never had a chance to speak with him directly while he was alive. But it's really the end of a limited consciousness and the beginning of a broader, more fully aware consciousness. And that is not going to be the same as what was. And in the new consciousness, history itself is not what it was, because we have much greater awareness of the cyclical nature of true reality. And we have much greater awareness that we are in fact the creators of this reality, and that we are in fact connected with all of life, even what we in present history consider inanimate life. The distinction between animate life and inanimate life is useful from a human perspective, but from the perspective of the true nature of reality, there is actually no separation between matter at all. All matter shares consciousness.
Well, and what consciousness is also a shifting reality itself, because what we think we are as conscious beings is really a small fraction of our true potential as these spiritual beings. So when I look at some kind of situation that I really don't like that I'm a part of or something, the big question to ask for me is, what do I still believe to be true about myself in order to create this kind of reality? And then I check in with myself and look at the feedback the universe is giving me And that's able, it helps me shift to a new reality, really. But it's self-reflective, and our progress is also self-reflective. So I don't think 2012 is just suddenly, you know, the angels are singing and everything is the golden age. I mean, is that potentially, but we still have to do the work.
Absolutely. Well, this is what the real key to the Golden Motorcycle Gang is about. You can think of it that each human being is both a particle and a wave. As a particle, you have to clean up your act. You have an ego. You have a very defined purpose. You have your boundaries. You know, you have your physicality. You have your expertise. This is all the side of you that is particle. And as a particle, you need to be the best particle you can be, but you're also a wave. And as a wave, you're part of the wave that everyone else is part of. And you need to find a way for your particle to let go of its particleness, at least occasionally, and integrate yourself as the wave, because it is the wave that will transform our present planet from a place of inequality and violence and stupidity, actually, to something that is really going to work for every one of us, both as a particle and as a wave.
Right. So how do we clean this? What suggestions do you have for cleaning up the particles so we can flow more?
Well, this is one of the reasons I teamed up with Jack Canfield, who's really dedicated his life to the human potential, the self-development movement. And he's created the Transformational Leadership Council. And we actually list in the Golden Motorcycle Gang all 130 members, each of whom in their own way has something to contribute to one individual's own evolution, whatever that might be, if they have issues relating to psychology, to business, because it is necessary to sort of be your best self first. Then we also went ahead and throughout the appendices to the novel, and few novels have this many appendices, we listed all the groups that are working, Push for Peace, the Omega Institute, the Club of Budapest, Unify Earth, Shift Network, all these organizations, and obviously we could only list a dozen or so of them, and there's literally hundreds. And our book is really a call for action for everyone to start connecting, because you're not alone. Whatever you're thinking is the problem, other people are thinking it's the problem too, and many of them have been thinking hard about what are the solutions. And if we just connect the dots, we're going to start coming up with real solutions. And even if we don't solve everything overnight, and we're not going to solve everything overnight, just having companions who are sharing the vision and sharing the experience is going to immediately benefit all of us.
Right, but what are the real solutions? Obviously, what the people at Occupy are saying is that we have a system that supports a corporate structure that is inhuman, and we have people, and it's out of balance, and it's more and more obvious, except most people are enslaved to the corporations. I just saw David Icke, so some of this is coming from David Icke's experience, but, you know, because I'm not usually that radical. But most of us are enslaved to the corporations, and they don't care about change. So what?
Well, they don't care, but they don't have a choice. This is what people miss. Change does not happen overnight, though sometimes it does. I mean, you have the dropping of the Berlin Wall during, you know, the lifetime of almost anyone listening to this radio show. That, when I was growing up as a young child, it couldn't happen. It would take a miracle. Same reality exists now. Things that people feel cannot possibly change can change. Even corporations can change. No question about it that the corporations have gotten out of control. This whole idea that they only exist for shareholder value is a crock. It's not real at all. Corporations exist to allow human beings to live better lives. And that is the only reason corporations should exist.
Well, that's now, the only reason any business should exist, to provide a service or a product that evolves the culture, you know?
We've gotten out of that, and we've gotten some individuals wrapped up in their own fear and greed and excess, and it's out of control.
But I don't see it shifting. I see the police coming in and holding their position.
I saw that video also, and this is part of where we turn to our mentor, Barbara Marks Hubbard, and why we put her front and center in the Golden Motorcycle Gang. She has worked for years on what is the nature of change, and she has these great snappy two-liners. emergency allows emergence. And it's true. If you look at systems theory, I also represent and have worked closely with Dr. Irvin Laszlo, who's the foremost systems theorist on the planet and also the founder of the Club of Budapest. And all systems reach a point where they either break down or you break through. And if you examine the basic biological principles of birth, you have great pain and trauma in giving birth. Well, we're looking at some of the pain and the trauma. Although it's painful, it's not necessarily a sign that we're not on the edge of greatness, or I don't know what that Lady Gaga song is, but we are on the edge, literally on the edge of a new era. Now, we're not guaranteed anything. We can fall off and through weakness and cowardice and not standing up for what we know is true, allow the present system to continue to dominate. But I do not believe that that is the destiny of mankind, humankind. Mm-hmm. And we are going to see, and we're seeing it. We're seeing courageous people, and we are sharing this information instantly.
Right, but you know what really makes a new change is just where I'm coming from, is a new way of thinking about reality. That's the only way we shift from an old paradigm to a new paradigm. We have to see the structures around us differently, which is what Einstein did when he said, I'm going to ride along with a beam of light and see how reality looks that way. And when he did, he changed physics single-handedly. So
you're absolutely correct. That is the only way change is going to happen. But of course, along the way, we have challenges daily. And that's one of the things I like so much about having Jack Canfield as my co-author. Yes, ultimately, the only real change will come through a change of consciousness and an envisioning of a new reality. But we have to get from where we are. We have to take people who may think this conversation is much too nebulous and, you know, give me something concrete. And that's where Jack Canfield comes in. He has his success principles. He has things, and yes, they can be misused. You can take some of Jack's ideas and you can just apply them to be more profitable in your corporation and, you know, not really have compassion or direction for how you're really supposed to be operating. But we do need to be practical. It's you know, one of the reasons we're a little irreverent. The Golden Motorcycle Gang. What's this? This, you know, these spirit beings are riding motorcycles, the most human, and in many cases, they have a connotation of sort of rowdiness. What is that about? The reality is we're trying to be inclusive of all people. We don't think there's anything wrong with having a good time. We don't think there's anything wrong with people wanting beautiful things. We believe that you can have everything, and the more you have, the more you can give. And it's actually through giving that you receive. And that ultimately, once you've had your toys, your material stuff, you quickly learn that that's not the most important thing. What you really have is the joy of existence, the joy of giving to others, the joy of enabling others to realize their dreams. And one of the reasons we made the Tapping the Source movie was we interviewed 112 people of very accomplished, high level of accomplishments, movie stars, best-selling authors, and on, scientists. And that is the commonality that we found among truly successful people, a sense of gratitude and a sense of being able to give to others. So we're not holding anything back. We're saying you have to find who you really are. You have to redefine success. Success used to be a go-getter. Success today is a go-giver. You have to find what is your unique gift and the best way for you to give it. And you have to immediately have the courage to ask for what you need to give your gift. And you have to understand that you are not alone and that there are people out there who not only want to help you, but whose gift will be helping you.
Thank you. No, I appreciate where you're coming from with that statement, with those statements, because it does give hope to us. The other aspect I would just add is that, and you've mentioned, is that who we've been conditioned to think we are as a very limited being living in a kind of singular reality that's separate from the cosmos has been a fabricated lie, essentially, to keep us, I would say, enslaved. That's a little extreme, but
I know that's the right word. Subjugation. I'm actually involved with a new university that Dr. Laszlo is going to be chancellor for, called the Giordano Bruno University, World Shift University, named after Giordano Bruno, who was a monk in the 16th century in Italy who was burned at the stake because he actually had the insight that is only now being proven true of the reality of multiple universes, which in his mind meant there could be multiple gods, which of course ran afoul of religious doctrine at that time. But you're absolutely true to use the word enslavement. We are slaves to the past. We create our own enslavement, and it's time to stop that. And it's, you know, not through evil. Our parents love us. Our parents want to protect us. But they were misguided in many areas and misled, and we've been perpetuating these lies, and they actually are lies. They are not, I can assure you, from having had the experience of not being in human form, they're not true. They don't describe, it's not who dies with the most toys wins. That's not true. It's definitely not true. And you do not really reside just in your body. You do not merely enjoy the material side of who you are. And when you find very wealthy people who commit suicide, that's just one example that the material alone is never sufficient. But at the same time, we don't want to throw away the material. We like the material. I enjoy a beautiful home and a nice car and good food.
And a healthy body and a clean food.
Not about amassing. I mean, I had in my personal experience, because I worked with people like Linus Torvalds and some of the great geniuses, Tom Anderson, who created MySpace. I actually had at one time, you know, in excess of $30 million, at least on paper. And I ended up going through a few divorces, lost most of it. And frankly, the quality of my life is actually better right now, having, you know, I still, you know, I'm well off, but not, you know, one tenth of what I had. I don't understand actually people, and I know some, you know, who are worth half a billion or $1 billion and spend half their time trying to make more. Why? You know, it makes no sense.
Why? Because those people are the most conditioned of all.
Yes. They're in fear. They're in fear. It's crazy, but they're in fear.
They got stuck on a treadmill of materiality, and they're actually afraid to live. I mean, I know lots of people with a lot of money who are living, who are enjoying their lives, and it's beautiful, you know? But it's not the money. You know who really talks about this, I think, the best was Joseph Chilton Pierce in The Crack in the Cosmic Egg. Do you know
who? Yes. Yes, I know his work.
He opened up the doorway in saying the problem is that we've mistaken the map for the territory, you know. And part of that is that we got trapped in language, and language became a left brain orientation to reality that we think is the only thing that exists. So we're not even in touch with the world. We're in touch with our identification, our labeling of the world. And that labeling comes down to money, and money then becomes the world. So if we kind of take on more of the shamanic perspective, which is what Arguelles was doing, and he was doing it even when he wrote his first book, The Transformative Vision, which is a brilliant overview of art history and consciousness, he was saying it's time to step out of this myth of progress that began, well, he said, with the unification of Egypt, the upper and lower kingdoms of Egypt, started and related to the Kali Yuga, that it would now be ending in December 21st, 2012, where we wake up to the true multidimensional beings that we are. And I think this is the avenue we need to talk more about.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so glad this lead in, because the whole reason Jack and I wrote The Golden Motorcycle Gang was exactly to move people in that direction. But our goal is to go for the people who are only now discovering the idea that they may be a multidimensional being, the idea that there may be a transformation possibility for this planet at this specific time.
You should define multidimensional being, because how would you describe that for my audience?
For myself, it's very easy. I mean, we start with the story of the Golden Motorcycle Gang itself. Jack told me the original story over dinner about 20 years ago. And what happened, and we recount this in the book, and it's not really a spoiler because it's right in the beginning of the book.
Right.
And it happens afterwards. But Jack was asked he was in graduate school in Emerson, Massachusetts, and he was studying to be a teacher, and the other students were also studying to be teachers, and the professor asked them all, think back to the very first moment when you realized you wanted to be a teacher. And most of the people thought to a parent or another teacher or a book or some experience they had had as a student. But Jack much to his own surprise, went into a kind of trance and actually saw himself riding a golden motorcycle as a spirit being through space with other spirit beings and looking down and seeing a little blue planet in distress and like a driver on an actual motorcycle going by a car accident saying, hey, let's be good Samaritans and stop by and see if we can help. And at that moment in actual time, when Jack was, because it would have been 9 months before his actual birth, there's World War II going on, and there's a lot of pain and suffering and war and death on planet Earth. And of course, the moment Jack took form as a human being, he immediately forgot why he came, and he had to spend most of his life reconnecting, and part of why he came was to reconnect the original members of that group, which we're calling the Golden Motorcycle Gang. But the Golden Motorcycle Gang is really a metaphor for all of us who are willing to step up and realize that we are both human beings and spirit beings. And I just leave it at that. I mean, multi can mean more than one. You could get into more, you know, intricate explanations of what a multidimensional being is. But when you just accept that you're both human and spirit being, as a spirit being, there are so many more dimensions. I can speak of it because of personal experience, but it's not really important to have had that experience. It's just important to have the realization that you're more than just your physical being.
But, you know, I do disagree a little bit. Because, I mean, what I think is it somehow, in order to get it, you do need an experience. I mean, otherwise it becomes another dogma. I've had an experience where I knew I was greater than my body or more. I met this great spiritual teacher and something came out of me and embraced this other essence and on an equal plane. And then suddenly I was aware that there was much more than philosophy and psychology was telling me in college. So
I agree with you, and Jack would agree even more. The entire thesis of the Transformational Leadership Council, to be a member, you have to not just be a teacher, but you have to actually create transformational experiences. Because he would agree with you, the only true transformation can be through experience. When I was saying you don't have to have had that experience to understand what the opportunity is. But I agree with you 100%. Without actually having had the experience, it's very difficult to truly integrate and share what it means to be a multidimensional being, because it just doesn't make any sense if you haven't had the experience.
It doesn't. Well, but I think you're also onto something there. It doesn't make any sense if we follow the educational conditioning that we have in this culture, but children actually are very multidimensional in their awareness that they get, you know, it gets pounded out of them. So if we could develop, maybe Steiner was doing that with the Waldorf school, the awareness from the child's point of view, you know, you have to be a child to enter the kingdom of heaven, all that. There is something that we are innately. It's who
we are. You're absolutely correct. Even in my experience when I was 15, and I wasn't, you know, a young child then, when I came out of my near-death experience, I was very eager to share the experience with others. But the reaction I got was so negative. I was told, well, you know, we have medical explanations for what you experienced. You know, the oxygen was cut off. You were hallucinating. And, you know, people actually tried to get me to deny my own experience, my own reality. Right. So what you're saying is very true, and I think that it's even more true for younger children who are just sort of told, no, that's just imaginary, that's just make-believe. Well, it's not, you know.
That's the paradigm we're moving into. This is what I'm trying to do and formulate, and maybe you'll be my agent when I finish my book about the value of the subjective experience, that my reality is truly something no one can disagree with, my experience. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't conform to the greater picture. What I know to be true to myself and for myself is the only thing I can count on. We need to put faith back in our own views rather than looking for a culture that confirms it as sane or insane.
Well, this is very interesting. And I'm already, whether I agent your book or not, I'm going to invite you to submit a short version of your aha moment to the Golden Motorcycle Gang Chronicles, which is the next book Jack and I are going to be writing, it's kind of a chicken soup for unusual souls, not really unusual, just people that have the awareness experiences that you've had, that Jack and I have had, and that actually millions of people have had, but it wasn't really safe to come out and share these experiences until just now. I mean, Jack and I sort of served as mirrors for each other. I mean, we both were, you know, very established in our traditional roles. He as a success coach working with major corporations, I as an agent representing, you know, a lot of very powerful people. And, you know, we wouldn't talk about these experiences so much 10 years ago, just in our most intimate circle. Now we've come out with a book, we put it all out there. And what we're hoping is that other people will see, hey, these are normal guys. These are successful guys. These are guys who haven't sort of, you know, gone off the deep end. And they're saying these experiences are real. Maybe I don't have to deny my own experience. And that's all we're seeking. We think that if everyone comes from their heart and their truth, we will start seeing some very rapid change on this planet.
Absolutely. And that's really what I'm about. And I see the world now divided into these two camps. As Madame Blavatsky said, those who know no explanation is necessary, and those who don't know explanation is possible. It's and you can look at someone, and is their density of thought very limited to the material reality, or is it expanded into this spiritual culture that's emerging?
Our dream for the Golden Motorcycle Gang is that it actually serves as a bridge. So if we have someone who's in relationship with someone who isn't aware, but they are, but just give them a copy of the Golden Motorcycle Gang, and it'll move them a little bit further into the right camp, as you say.
That's important, because we need this culture to be a bridge for those that that an experience is awaiting them. It's like we all are that. It's just how much have we bought the program? And
what's so ironic is there's so much joy in stepping into the world of possibilities rather than the world of less.
Well, absolutely. This is where the future of humanity is. I mean, William Blake said the imagination is the human being. It's giving credit to the subjective experience of the imagination. And the people that do it the most, and this is really what I'm writing about, the artist's role in creating new realities, are the artists that lead people along to the next level of perception. So it comes down...
further. First of all, I would say that Jose Arguelles, if he was anything, he was an artist.
Absolutely.
And I would say that if you want to, you know, have an entity be God, God, for me, is consciousness. But if you want to sort of put it into something you can hold on to, God is an artist, if he's anything. What is a creator? And we are all part of our own self-creation. And on that level, we are all gods. But we deny our godliness. And we have to understand that being God does not mean that, you know, you're not going to get shot if somebody shoots you. You're not going to, you know, live forever in your human body. But you are eternal, and you are eternally creative. And you are co-designing the experience of consciousness itself in every moment of your being. And that the ultimate goal of consciousness is to create ever greater beauty. And complexity is beautiful. And that's what we're striving for. And if we do not fulfill our role as true artists, we're going to create a mess. And I think we've gotten too much of the mess already created. Well, and we've got to stop doing that.
The mess, because, you know, what I think E. Cummings said, if you're not an artist, you go about doing someone else's business. Who is the artist? So we've let the few, like people are saying, control the many, because that creative natural aptitude of human beings has been conditioned out of us. So, you know, they... society loves to make soldiers and policemen, so it's very orderly. You know, Plato is the one who kicked the artists out of the Republic because he said they change things too much. But we need to be in a state of dynamic equilibrium, not stasis equilibrium, which is what the culture has done. So there's always this battle between those trying to keep the order and those trying to modify it.
We can go back to our cultural icons. Bob Dylan said it all with just two words. Them that's not busy being born or busy dying. And that's true. If you're not recreating yourself every day. You are, in fact, dying.
Right. So we need to constantly remind ourselves of that. And when Jack Canfield saw the Golden Motorcycle Gang, that was his creative way of seeing into the future and seeing what was possible to change consciousness.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to say my friendship with Jack has just intensified, and I've gotten the privilege of being on several radio, and we're even going to be on a television show, I think the Tom Hartman show next Monday. And the more I get to know Jack, his goodness and his practical nature and good humor just shine through. And that's the kind of bridge makers that we need. We need people who have compassion, even for those who think our way of envisioning the world is unreal. But just because we have compassion doesn't mean that we give in to them. It doesn't mean that we let go of what we know is true.
But, you know, it is unreal. Well, I don't know what Tom Hartman's like, because there's people who only think what's real is the solidity in front of them. And what's really real is this creative imagination that transforms the world each moment. That's what's real.
And absolutely.
And this is where we're moving into as a new culture. So I hope when you're on Tom Hartman, you can talk about this multidimensional aspect. You can blow people away and have them not understand. I mean, I'm not saying you should do that, but it's like planting the seeds of an alternate consciousness is what wakes people up. You know, there's that quote in the Gospel of Thomas, seek and you will find and you'll be confused. And when you're confused, you will marvel and reign over all. That's the transition we're in, the confusion into the marveling of what's possible. And that's why I'm happy that you've written this book with Jack, in order to wake people up.
Yeah, just one small comment, since I know Tom Hartman very well. He was actually the first person who explained to me that the real problem with change is we need a new story.
Oh,
every culture needs a story. And that's part of what we're hoping the Golden Motorcycle Gang will be one of the first efforts in creating this new story. And there's many other people writing what is the new story. And we need that new story, because the story must be written and then it is lived. And unless we start imagining a better world and start realizing that we can live as spirit, multidimensional human beings, we're not going to be able to live what our intended destiny actually is. And I say our intended destiny because as a cultural anthropologist, I've studied many, many cultures. And the good news is that just about every major culture that I've studied has predicted that this time, not necessarily 2012 specifically, but this time is a time of transition, is a time of transformation, and a transformation to, in some cultures, what they call the golden age, a lighter age. And we're here now. And just the fact that you're listening to this show and that you're alive, give thanks, because this is probably the most interesting moment in the history of our planet.
And exciting, and we don't know what's even around the next corner. That's what makes this really have everyone sitting on the edge of their seats. And plus, the planet is getting so small and so intimate and so connected that we're actually being embedded in each other's thoughts somehow. We are really becoming the global consciousness we are anyway. So with that, then, what is this vision specifically about 2012 that you saw, that you...
The specific vision, you know, that I saw in 2012, and it is described in my novel, The 12, and it's also described in The Golden Motorcycle Gang, it's working together in a unified, conscious awareness towards creating a planet that works for all 7 billion souls. It's not about you snap your fingers and the world is totally different, but it's changing your own consciousness, your own relationship to this world. And in doing that and sharing that change with others, there can be an immediate emotional shift in your life, and there can be a dramatic beginning of ongoing shifts that will create and lead to solutions to the very real physical problems. We can't pretend we're not physical beings. We are. And, you know, we need to eat. We need transportation. We need all the things that we've become accustomed to. But we need to do it in a way that is sustainable and that is gracious and that is kind and that is loving. And that is what 2012 represents, the opportunity. And if you talk to the Mayan elders, as I have, they're very succinct. We've gone too far towards the material. If humankind does not start focusing more on spiritual values and the basic values, which we've known from the beginning, the very first thing a mother teaches a child is how to love. It really can be that simple. But of course, we have to move from where we are with our complex structures, with our economic systems, our political systems, our systems of justice and health, all of which are breaking down. And we have to have compassion, because some very good human beings have been trying and are still trying to maintain those structures. And until we present those people with new structures where they can take their positive intentions and be more productive and more compassionate in solving these problems, we are not going to succeed. And there is real danger of the lack of success. It's not automatic. It's up to each and every one of us.
It's not automatic, but I do think that point that in time that Jose Aguayas pinpointed, which would be the alignment on December 21st, 2012, when the Earth, the Sun, and the center of the galaxy comes into an exact conjunction, according to him, I think that's a point of transition. Do you get anything about that point?
Absolutely. It's huge, and you're absolutely right.
What do you say about that point in time?
Quibble with what you've said is, it's really up to each human being. We have to have critical mass of consciously aware people so that this alignment, it's a gift. I mean, if everyone were just aware, it's in the bag, because the planets literally are lining up for this transition.
Well, what do you think will happen? Is there a specificness to what is unfolding to that moment in time? According to you and what you've seen?
According to me and what I've seen, It's kind of A is and A is not. For those who are sensitive and aware, I think that there actually will be change that on every level is felt and seen. But for the majority of people who are not living in an integrated way, I think they're just going to say, well, I don't think December 22nd is any different than December 21st. Thank you very much. But those are the same people who might be saying, I don't think there's any difference between 2011 and 1980. There's a huge difference.
Right.
And you know, it's tricky, and I don't want to create false hope, and I don't want to create, you know, sort of, I told you so moments. You said there was going to be this specific change and then there wasn't. I don't think that serves the wider purpose. I feel that I, along with everyone else who's either self-appointed or naturally evolved into a messenger for the message of 2012, that it's really about waking people up. And it's much more important that each individual take responsibility for their role in what 2012 should be, can be, and then ultimately will be.
Well, but I'll tell you what it is. I mean, what it is for me, you're talking about having a new story. Well, if 2012 is nothing else but giving us a galactic perspective, this is the new story. We've been so solar-based, our solar system. We have the days of the week after the planets and the sun and the moon, and we've been very small-minded and local. The awareness that the Earth, the sun, the center of the galaxy is in conjunction gives us a broader playing field to tell a new story. And then part of that new story, for me anyway, is the fact that there are ETs, that they've been interacting with us. And if we want to tell a new story, we have to wake up to the fact, this is just my belief and also reality, that these beings are here, they're interacting with us, and they're interacting with us at a level of consciousness that we have to wake up to. That's the new story. It's not
That's only part of the story, but that is part of the story.
That's a story people aren't telling. Even in the progressive human potential movement, they are still laughing at that. And maybe you're not, but most people say, and even Ken Wilber, it's like, no, the transformation is internal.
This is where I've learned a lot from Jack Canfield. And when I talk about compassion, for example, Irvin Laszlo has written this incredible new book. It's not even out yet. The Akashic Paradigm, which builds on his science in the Akashic Field. And he's exploring in deeper consideration the implications of the reality of what he calls the zero point. The zero point goes far beyond, you know, obviously there's alien intelligence throughout the universe, but the zero point actually represents the non-point point where all information that ever will be and ever was coexists, and that we as human beings actually can tap into. This is kind of the basis of our movie, Tapping the Source. But you can actually tap into the source. And for those people who don't want to because they don't see, you know, actual aliens on this planet, the alternative explanation is, well, what about the idea of tapping into this universal source, which science is proving is real? And I know from my own research with the Mayan, for example, the Mayans did not create the Mayan calendar. The Mayan calendar was created thousands of years before the Mayans even existed. Mm-hmm. How that was done and how the people that created it calibrated 26,000 years, and only 10 years ago or so did we find out about the precession in the wobble of the rotation of our planet Earth, happens to be exactly 26,000 years. My only explanation is somebody was able to tap into the zero point or the Akashic field and brought that information out to this Earth. Now, is that any more preposterous than an alien did it? I don't think so. And my point is, you don't have to have people believe your story.
Right.
But they have to have a story which is aligned with your story and that allows all of us to move forward into new ways of interacting and new beliefs. Because the old beliefs are not working anymore. And, you know, we have to have respect for them, but we have to move on.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and I can be a little radical because I've had experiences. I've been to the crop circles. There's no way that these designs are hoaxed by everyone. There's some amazing patterns that are waking up the right brain to perceive different ways of reality. I mean, these are
absolutely fantastic. Agree with you. Yeah, Alan, I totally agree with you. My whole point is, Jack and I and the Golden Motorcycle Gang, we're really trying to be as mainstream as possible. And we don't want to put, you know, there'll be time.
If you I know.
Then you can go to the next level, but we don't want to turn somebody off just because we might say something that they feel is impossible. I mean, depending on how you read it, well, Jack is a spirit being flying through space. Does that make him an alien? You know, but we're not emphasizing that and we're presenting it. And that's why we call it a novel. We're not forcing the issue of saying, no, this is reality. We happen to believe that it is reality, but we're open to the fact that somebody else may not be ready for that, but they still may share the larger vision, because the larger vision is true no matter what someone's belief system is. I don't think there's anyone on this planet that wants to see suffering, unnecessary suffering. And that is really the state of the world right now. We have so much unnecessary suffering, man-made suffering, for which the solutions are really within our grasp very quickly.
No, I totally appreciate where you're coming from because it's very humanistic. It's very compassionate. And, you know, of course, I want to shake people up a little bit because I think it's time we're shaking up.
You need both. You need both. And I think your book will shake people up, and I think it'll be great. I mean, obviously, you know, the first book, you know, led to Coast to Coast. It was, you know, and I think it's important. You have this new movie, Thrive, and I think it's important. So I think there's a role for both the sort of more gentle book like The Golden Motorcycle Gang and more radical presentations, and we need to be doing both.
Right, and thank you for that because, you know, it's when people say they can't believe it or they're having a hard time, or it's outside their field of possibility, it's only because the conditioning that they've been brought up with has not allowed them to see a bigger picture of what's possible.
Well, part of that conditioning is also, you know, the entertainment industry, which frankly takes some of these, you know, possible ideas and masks them with fear and tragedy and horror, which, you know, may sell tickets, but scares the bejesus out of people. And, you know, presents a different kind of conditioning, which makes people think, oh, this is just so preposterous. So there's a lot of factors that go into why people, you know, may be resistant.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And I think taking a bridge point of view is important because people need to take small steps in order to change their reality. And then other people are ready for something new, but it's happening one way or the other. I think 2012 will be a dramatic transformation.
We are organizing, for the people that read the Golden Motorcycle Gang, we are organizing the biggest birthday bash in the history of humanity. We're hoping to get tens of millions. Some people really think we can get 100 million or more people having their own individual celebrations in unison on December 22nd, 2012 to celebrate day one of New Earth.
And what's that going to be? How do we find out about that?
You just go to the website, www.goldenmotorcyclegang.com. Also in the book itself, there are websites listed for Unify Earth and for the Shift Network. We even have Barbara Marks Hubbard. I think she's trained over 2,000 people as agents of conscious evolution. Each one of those people is intended to serve as sort of a party organizer in their geographic area throughout the world. And we're really very serious about the importance of the ritual celebration. We see music, we see dancing, we see great food, and we see greater focused intentionality, that it's not just a party that you have a hangover from the next day, but it's a party that allows you to go forward the next day with greater hope and greater positive action. We're building on the idea that Barbara Marks Hubbard had in 1984 when she was nominated to be vice president for the Democratic Party, the first woman actually before Geraldine Ferraro, who actually got the nomination. And her whole idea was to create a peace room in the White House and to keep track of everything that was actually working, that was solving problems in the areas of health, education, economics. And we intend to actually create the equivalent on the internet of a solution center where solutions from one community to another are shared and where people are able to cooperate towards solving the bigger problems that the governments and the corporations, for whatever reason, have not either been able to solve or have not deigned as important enough to solve.
Yeah, no, I love Barbara, and I've interviewed her here on this radio program and in person, and I think she's the one who really came up with this idea for a birthday party for humanity on December 22nd, right? I mean,
yeah, that's it. Really, is her idea. It's her doing,
and that she is really the elder of the movement because she's been at it for so long. I mean, she
in our book, The Golden Motorcycle Gang, we actually refer to her as the Silver Motorcycle Gang because she was here with a few others holding the space. Then Jack's generation and mine, and now we have a new generation coming forward, which is really has to be in the millions and millions to really affect the change that has been prophesied and the change that can be and the change that is going to make everybody happier no matter what their basic belief is right now. It's going to create a better world. It's possible and it's real and it's not just some pie in the sky idea.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you, William, for your work. I just want to just also remind people this 2012 alignment is a reorientation to our local neighborhood, with or without ET, who knows, but we're playing in a bigger field. There's more possibilities for the earth and humanity and our potential because we're moving into a new time. So any final words that you'd like to leave people with as a kind of hopeful way of transforming their lives?
Yes, it's really not that difficult. No one is expecting anyone to step out of their comfort zone right away. We hope eventually you will. But start where you are. Do what Jack calls, clean up your own house. Take advantage. And we've put even on the website, if you want to get in touch of how do you decide what your true purpose is. Jack actually has put up for free a little exercise you can do. We also have a mini version of the Thomas Wilhite Motorcycle Training Manual. And in teaching people how to drive a motorcycle, Thomas Wilhite, who's the creator of PSI, one of the foundational companies for human development, really was teaching people how to live. So don't be put off by the title. The Motorcycle Training ebook is free. It's on the www.goldenmotorcyclegang.com site. And it's got 232, I think, messages that are very relevant whether you're ever going to drive a motorcycle or not. And just start with little things like that. And from there, start discovering, whether it's through our film Tapping the Source or through some of the websites we list in the Golden Motorcycle Gang appendices, connecting with individuals and groups that can help you achieve your own personal goals and allow you to give your gift and discover why you're really here. Because you have a purpose. No matter who you are out there listening, there's a specific reason you are alive at this time. And the more you get in touch with that higher reason why you're here, the more joy you're going to experience.
Wow. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. And it's really about this soul nature coming through and allowing it to speak through us, which is our incarnational gift. Absolutely.
Well, and I thank you, Alan. I think your show's doing a great service, and I hope it's reaching many, many people.
Well, yeah, thank you. And what's your website?
Well, the goldmotorcyclegang.com is the best website, and also 12thebook.com and tappingthesourcemovie.com. Those are really the products that express what I'm doing, and people can contact me. I mean, if you have questions about literary agenting, contact me through one of those other sites, and I'm not taking on any new clients myself right now, but I have 8 agents who work with me, and you know, I'll refer people, you know, to you. But I'm really here to deliver these messages and not promote, you know, my business.
Right. And I appreciate you delivering the message here on New Realities. I've been talking to William Gladstone, the co-author of The Golden Motorcycle Gang, with Jack Canfield, just out now. And it's really about our human potential, our spiritual movement into a new time. And I'm happy that there are people like you and Jack creating a bridge for the people who are waking up, like all of us, like me. So thanks again.
You're very welcome.
I'm going to end with this song called The Song of the Soul. Do you know that song by Chris Williamson? It's an old song from like the 70s.
I may start playing it now, and I'll know quickly.
Okay. Email me at newreality.com.